Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
You got to get yourself in a faith frenzy. Get yourself all worked up in God. Well, he's a miracle worker. Amen. And so we ought to get worked up. I said we ought to get worked up. If he's a miracle worker, then his people that believe that are getting worked up. They're getting worked up, and as they get more worked up, the more he works. The more worked up we get, the more he works. Because the more worked up we get, the more we're believing it. I said the more we're believing it. The more we're believing that he is who he says he is. He is who we're singing about. Oh, thank God. Thank God he's the same today. I just expect God today. Don't you? I mean, that's how we need to live our life. Expecting God. Just expect God. Expect the Almighty. Expect glory. Expect him. Expect him. Just not us, but him. Him showing up, him doing stuff, him changing things, looking to him, and he is in our midst. You know, God likes church. God loves his people. He loves his house. He loves his church. He loves showing up and showing off in his people's lives, and he wants to show up and show off in our life every day, but especially when we come to church, because when we come together, there isn't just one person's faith present. There isn't just two people's faith present. There's a whole group of people's faith present. Now, it'd be wonderful if we all came in faith. If we all were in faith. If we all were believing and expecting the right things. Expecting God. Expecting him. But unfortunately, so many times people do come. They're not really expecting God. They really don't know what they're expecting. They're kind of coming and waiting and seeing. Well, we'll just see what happens. Well, we'll just go. I guess we should go to church. That sounds like a good idea. You know, maybe if we go to church, God might do something for us this week. You know, and all this maybe, and we'll see. That's not faith. But man, all of God's people come together in faith. Not a bunch of doubters. All believers. All believers. What are you going to have when you have all believers in one accord, in one place? You're going to have a mighty manifestation of the power of God. That's why I love that scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, and this flows into what we're talking about today. We're in a series on church life. Church life. Church is a big part of your life. So this is not my life. Well, it needs to be. It's supposed to be. God's church is supposed to be a big part of your life. It's not just a little part. It's not a little something we do when it's convenient. It's a major lifeline into our life. And we need to be vitally connected to God's house, to God's church. And again, when we all come together, and we get into one accord in one place. Well, we saw it over in Acts chapter 2. What happened? When they all got together in one accord. Now, there was only 120 that were actually together on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But remember, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he had appeared to, the Bible says, to over 500 brethren. He had appeared to a whole lot of folks. And of course, you think about Jesus and his earthly ministry. He had multitudes of people that followed him, that were healed by him, that were delivered by him. And yet, at the end, right before the Holy Spirit is poured out, there's 120. 120 that had been waiting together in an upper room, praying. Studying the Word of God together, meditating in the Scriptures, talking the things of God. I mean, they were having church in that upper room. And the Bible says as they continued in that place, they came into one accord. They all were in faith. They were all expecting the same thing. And they were ready for God to do what God wanted to do in the earth. God just can't do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. He needs a people that are ready, that are expecting, a people that are in faith, ready to receive from him. He needs cooperation from us. He has made it that way. So we have to understand that. It's not, well, if God wants to do it, it's going to happen. It's no, God, we know what God wants to do. I said, we know what God wants to do. The Word of God teaches us what God wants to do. He wants to do miracles. He wants to do, right now, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think. He wants to do, that's what the Bible tells in the book of Ephesians. He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. That's what he can do. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do the miracles. He wants to, like the Bible says, show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. That's hearts that are in faith concerning him. Hearts that are fully committed to him. He wants to. He's looking. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. He's looking to show himself strong. He's looking to split your Red Sea. He's looking to do miracles today. He's looking. He's looking to do it. He wants to do it. And he can do it. But he's got to get us into a position to be able to conceive it and believe it in our hearts and declare it by faith. Speak it out. And receive it. He's got to get us in a receiving position. What good would it be if you had the best quarterback in the NFL throwing to nobody? He can throw that ball far. He is so accurate. Watch this. He's going to throw this thing and he can hit the field goal post. And he throws it and hits it. 50 yards away. Just hits the post. You think this guy is incredible, but nobody is receiving the ball. And God's given the plays to his people, and he's saying that, go out, cut to the left, cut back to the right, I'm going to hit you right over there. And they go out and spin around and go that way, and And they're crying, God, where are you? God, where are you? God, where are you? They're running up there to get some peanuts. It's like, what is going on here? You got the best quarterback. But the people aren't in position. They're not good receivers. But that's not us. I said, that's not us. We are good receivers. Say that. Say, I'm a good receiver. I receive what God wants to toss me. What God wants to get to me, I receive it. I believe. I'm a faith person, not a doubter. Amen. He can't be a way maker to a whiner. He can't, because whiners always wind up nowhere near where they're supposed to be. Because whining involves the tongue, and James says that the tongue is like a rudder to a ship. And where you turn the tongue, that's where you go. So if you whine, if you're a whiner, he can't be the way waker in your life because you're whining the wrong way. Amen. So no more whining. Turn to somebody, tell them, no more whining. Now tell them it starts with me. Yeah, we don't want to stir up problems. It starts with me. No more whining. No more whining. We got to catch ourselves. We're not going to whine. We're not going to complain. We want the way maker. But this is how he makes a way. It's not independent of us. It's through us. Like I always say, God does more through us than he does for us. See, a lot of folks waiting for God to do stuff for them. And the stuff God wants to do, he's got to do through them. See? So we got to look and say, okay, how do I get in position? What am I supposed to do? What direction do you have for me to go, Lord? You know, now I'm believing this. I see it in the Word. I believe it. I receive it. All right, now lead me. Show me how to get into position. Show me what's my part in this to see to it that what you want to bring to pass comes to pass. I'm a believer. I'm a receiver. I'm going to run full strength and get in position. And you know, the devil, he's got some very, very good cornerback demons. Not quarterback, cornerbacks. Those are the guys that try to defend the receivers from being able to catch the ball. And the devil's got a bunch of those out there. And they're fast. I mean, they've been doing this for thousands of years. They've been blocking stuff, intercepting things. And so we're going to have to go wholehearted. You can't just go trotting out there when you got an opponent that's going to try to stick to you like glue. You got to be able to recognize when the devil is in your face, when the devil is trying to make things hard on you, you need to take authority over him. Speak the name of Jesus. Take your authority over the devil. So many folks don't use the name of Jesus over the enemy. When the enemy is coming against you, when the enemy is opposing you, use the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. And again, praising God, shouting his praises, magnifying him, speaking his word. Man, that brings angelic assistance. That brings the presence of God. And that drives out the devil. That pushes him back. And it gives you the church, it gives you the advantage every time. Don't you want the advantage in life? When you go out there, don't you want the advantage? You got to start bringing his name into it. Don't play the devil's songs. Don't whine. Don't complain. Don't talk doubt. Don't talk unbelief. Don't let people talk doubt and unbelief to you. It'll weaken you. It'll weaken you. You know, people know that in bodybuilding. You know, I'm reminded of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And, you know, somebody was telling me a story. I never actually saw it before. It was like a documentary. And Lou Ferrigno, who played the Incredible Hulk years back, you know, these guys were bodybuilders, and there was a competition. And I guess Lou Ferrigno's dad was his trainer. And Arnold Schwarzenegger came over. They were both going to be in this contest together. And Arnold Schwarzenegger came over to visit his friend Lou. And he came over and he looked at Lou and he said, "Lou, how you doing?" He said, "Good." He said, "You don't look good. What's going on?" And I'm fine. I'm good. He goes, "Yeah, you don't look good. Something doesn't look right. You look soft. You don't look strong." And he began to speak all this negativity about Lou. And from my understanding, Lou's dad, the coach, came walking and said, "Don't listen to him, Lou. Don't listen to him." And Arnie beat him in the contest. See, he understood the psychological part of winning. See? And so the devil understands the psychological part of defeating you. And so he will send naysayers, he will send doubters, he will send people around you that will speak doubt into your life, cause you to doubt your faith, doubt who you are, doubt your church, doubt your pastor, doubt, 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 until next thing you know, your faith starts getting weaker and weaker, and you don't know, it just kind of creeps up on you. You know, it's like a friend, like a buddy just coming over and just saying, "Hey, are you all right? Are you doing okay?" And it sounds so, you know, like they want to help you and they're concerned about you, but they're undermining you. I said they're undermining you. So you got to protect yourself. You got to guard yourself because this is how the enemy works. He will work in your mind, negative thoughts, negative, and then you start speaking negative thoughts about yourself, about your life, about your condition. And what are you doing? You're empowering the enemy to drain you of every good thing, to rob you of all the good things that God has for you. So you have to speak up and speak right. I said you have to speak up and speak right. Say, no, I know. See, the devil did that to me. And I've shared this before, but, you know, bears repeating. The enemy came in one day and all these feelings came on me. I mean, these negative feelings just came on me. And you just felt like you wanted to quit. You just wanted to give. You had just like this total give up attitude. You just feel just, all of a sudden you just feel so negative. Just feel so negative. And I just felt so negative. And nothing really major happened to cause it. But, you know, it might have been maybe a little something, but the enemy just came, and this heaviness just came. And then these thoughts came. "I just want to quit the ministry." Just like that. "I just want to quit the ministry." And I recognized it immediately. Even though it was disguised as my own thought, I recognized immediately, this is the devil. I know this is the devil because there's nothing in my heart that says I want to quit the ministry. I mean, I hadn't even been entertaining it. I mean, at any point in my life. And so for it to come out of nowhere like that, to me, it was just so obvious. So I just knew immediately what it was. I spoke right back to it. I had to shake off the heaviness. I had to shake off the depression. What you want to do is say it. I mean, it's so strong on you. You just want to say, you want to repeat those words because you're feeling them. You're not just hearing it, thinking it. You're feeling those words. And so you want to speak them out of your mouth. And like we said, the tongue is a rudder to the ship, and it directs your whole life. So had I spoke that, it just would have given the devil a stronger footing in my life to cause me to quit, to cause me to get off course, to knock me out of the race that God had set me in. Of course, this isn't just for me. You understand, the same thing he does to me, he does to you. Probably just this week, some of you. Saying some things, and you've taken it as your own thought. And you've even put it in your mouth, and you've spoken it out as your own words. And all you've done is you've strengthened the enemy in your life. You've given him more footing in your life. And so, but I recognized what it was, and I spoke right up. I did just the opposite of what he wanted me to do. Instead of speaking that, I spoke something else. And I said out loud, I said, devil, I said, I'm so glad you said that. I let him know right away, I know that's you. I said, I'm so glad you said that. I said, now I'm going to say just the opposite. I want you to know I'm going to fulfill my ministry. I'm going to fulfill every phase of the ministry God has for me. I'm going to run my race with joy. Hallelujah. You know that feeling left just like that? That oppression left, that heaviness left, that discouragement left, and joy just began to flood my soul. I just went and went on laughing. Praise God. Devil went off running. But, you know, after a while, and I don't know, it was, I don't know exactly how long, months, years, I don't know. It could have been a couple years later, but it came again. I just want to quit the ministry. Same exact thing. The feelings, the whole thing. I did the exact same thing. It's happened about two or three times where the enemy's come with the same thing. See, because he's had success with people in the past, even people that have resisted him once or twice. He has obviously gotten a lot of folks out of their place simply by pulling that on them, just by doing that to them. But if we'll recognize it and we'll speak up, we can shake him off and we can just charge forward into what God has for us. And we can see God making a way in our life where the enemy has been blocking. The enemy has been holding us back. But now we can see God come through. Praise God. See, the devil needs you too. The devil's looking for someone to love. Devil's looking for you too. He's looking for you to speak. See, he needs your cooperation. See, that's why he said that. I just want to quit the ministry. Just like that one time I was standing there by a window on a second floor of a building. And all of a sudden, I was just looking down there, and this thought came. Jump. And it came with images. I kind of saw myself throwing myself through the glass. No, don't worry. That was not my thought. I knew that wasn't my thought. Have you ever had thoughts like that? I mean, that's just a desperate thought of the enemy. He's just, now he's desperate. Throw yourself through the glass. I stepped back. As soon as that happened, I stepped back. I said, you go first. I did. He don't like that. But you see, I didn't need a vision. I didn't need a special something from God to recognize that. We just need to know his word. And we need to have a close relationship with him and be obedient to him. And as we are, we become more discerning. You just become more discerning. You start recognizing God's thoughts, your thoughts, devil thoughts. And you start recognizing these things. But you know, just as the devil did to Jesus, he came, the Bible says he came to tempt Jesus, and he told Jesus, he told him to throw himself off this cliff. And he said, for it's written, the angels will bear you up in their hands. And of course, Jesus said, it is written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. You know, he didn't throw himself off the cliff. But the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. That's what he said. But you see, I look at that and I say, now, if you're the big bad devil, why don't you just throw him down? Why don't you just throw him down, devil? Why are you telling him to throw himself down? Because you need his cooperation. Because you can't do it without his cooperation. So the enemy will grip you with symptoms. He'll grip you with fear. He'll grip you with fear. And he needs you to react. He needs you to believe in him. He needs you to put confidence in him that this is really something bad. Something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to go on. He needs you to start speaking that so that he can begin to really work that in your life. And if we just stop and know that it's him, then he's got nothing to work with. He's got nothing to work with. If we'll start laughing at things that happen to us that are contrary to the word of God, the devil will be resisted and he will flee. He will flee. Didn't that Bible say that? Resist the devil and he will flee. Let's look at that scripture. James 4, verse 6. But God gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God's church is to be a safe place for you. You know, they got those signs. You ever see those signs? I think it's got a picture of like hands hugging or something, right? And it's a safe place. We should have that on the front of our door. You come in here, it's a safe place, praise God. It's safe from demons. It's safe from devils. Now, they'll try to come. They'll try to hang on as long as they can. But we get to shouting, and they get to fleeing, you know. It's pretty easy to resist the devil in here. It's pretty easy, should be easy, to at least be able to recognize the enemy when you come into a place like this. The truth of God's word always shows up lies. And the devil is the father of lies. He is a deceiver. And so people are struggling. They don't know they're being deceived. They don't know their minds are being messed with. They don't know it's the devil. But when you get around the truth, when you come into God's presence and you're hearing the truth, you're going to recognize the lies. You're going to recognize deception. And the devil is going to be uncovered. He is going to be exposed. While at the same time, you're being covered. You're being protected. God wants you undercover. He wants you under his covering. He wants you under his protection. And so by uncovering the devil's lies, he's covering you. And so this is a great place to be able to begin to learn how to discern what's of God, what's not, what's the devil, what's not. It's in a place where there's truth being spoken, where the light of God's word is shining. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of your word brings light. It brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So it is a spiritual light that'll shine on your life and that'll light things up in your life, and you'll be able to see the lies that you've been believing. Has anybody ever experienced that before? The light of God's word comes and all of a sudden you realize you've been going a completely wrong way, or you've been believing lies, or you've been thinking thoughts that were not God, and it's just like it was uncovered to you. It just was uncovered to you. It was like the light switch just went on. See, that's what God's word does. It uncovers the enemy and covers us. It protects us. It exposes the enemy and protects us, protects you and I. That's why it's so important to come together, because you got deception coming at you all the time. Lies coming at you all the time. And lies that are disguised as truth. Lies that are disguised as God. Something of God. You know, the devil, when he comes into our life, he doesn't come, you know, with a big pitchfork and red pajamas. That's not how he shows up. Bible says he transforms himself into an angel of light. And the Bible says his ministers do the same thing. Those that serve him do the same thing. And when he's talking about the devil's ministers, we're not just talking about church. When we think of ministry, we think of church. But no, the devil's ministers are operate outside the church all the time. No, don't get me wrong. They'll work inside churches if they're able to. That's why it's so important to stay with the truth. That's why I love the truth. It keeps the people here safe. It keeps this church set apart for God. It keeps it a safe place. Because it exposes. It exposes. You start getting away from the truth, and you start preaching opinions. You start preaching of feelings. You start speaking things that it's just man's wisdom, human wisdom. You get over and get into all that. The enemy, he will come in and he will hold high carnival in people's minds. He'll get in there and he'll just have a heyday in people's lives, and deception will pile up on top of deception, and people will be led astray, and people will get hurt. The devil will take advantage of them, and he'll rob them of the kind of life God has for them if the truth isn't being spoken. But when the truth is being spoken, when you stay with the truth, now you got to want the truth to stay with the truth. You got to want the truth more than you want what your flesh wants, what feels good, what you've always thought you wanted. You got to want the truth more than all of that. And as you want the truth and you get the truth, you're going to have light, and the devil's going to have a tough time messing with you. But when the light comes, you're going to see deceptions in your life. And sometimes people, there's things that light up and they don't want it lit up. They don't want that to be shown up. Jesus talks about it over here in John. I believe that is in John 3. He says in verse 18. We'll start in verse 18. John 3, 18. He says, "And he who believes in him," talking about believes in Jesus, "is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, he who wants the truth, he who loves the truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." How many want to do it God's way? God's way is the way, man. God's way is the way. It is the truth. It is the life. God wants you living the life. He wants to be moving on your behalf. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. How does he do it? He does it through the truth of his word. He does it through the light, lighting us up with his word. But notice what he says in verse 19. This is the condemnation. Now he's going to give you a definition. Have you ever heard condemnation? Man, I just feel so condemned. I feel so condemned. Well, what is condemnation? Condemnation tells you right here, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. In other words, they saw the light and they pulled back from it. That's going to bring condemnation. But if we're not people that draw back from the light, draw back from the truth will convict us. It will correct us. It will deal with us. But that's a good thing. Right? He talks about that over in the book of Hebrews, how we should not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when we're rebuked by him. We can't be afraid to be rebuked by the word, corrected, disciplined. And this is, you got to understand, this is how God corrects his people. God does not correct his people by flattening your tires. God does not correct his people by making them sick. God does not correct his people by doing some kind of terrible thing in their life or causing some bad thing to happen in their life. How how does God correct? God corrects through the word. He chastens us with his word, if we'll let him. He is not going to chase after you, pin you down, and give you a spanking. That's not what he's going to do. You have to submit yourself to the chastening of the Lord. You got to submit yourself to the word of God. And even though if it don't feel good, that don't feel very good. Oh, I don't like that. Well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? There's two things you could do. You can just go ahead and run. You can just run from it. You could leave it. You could just avoid it. Go somewhere where you're not going to have to deal with it. Or you can go up and say, bring it on. Bring it on, Lord. Give me the paddle. Don't spare the rod. Correct me. Give me light. Give me truth. Discipline me. Rebuke me. Show me where I'm missing it so that my deeds can be done in God. That what I do is being done by the grace of God. That what I do lines up with your will for my life. Isn't that powerful? He is Almighty God. He could grab you. He could say, now you're going to listen to me. He could do that because he's all powerful. And you'd never escape it. If he wanted to discipline you, he could discipline you. But that's not how it works. I said, it's not how it works. You've got to submit yourself to that discipline. You got to submit yourself to that correction. So we come to the word and there's light and it shows us things that aren't right. Shows us where we're missing it. And when it shows up where we're missing it, then we ought to be glad. Even though it might not feel good. You know, you have to make some changes. You have to die to some things you are living for. You have to let go of some things you are hugging and holding real tight. You got to let go of it. You got to back off from it. You got to give it up. You got to surrender it. It doesn't feel good on the flesh. But yet there's joy in your heart knowing I'm doing it God's way. And if I do it his way, I'm going to have his best. I'm going to have his best. I'm going to have his power, his presence working on my behalf. And he is a miracle worker. But we got to let him work. I said, we got to let him work. We got to let him work on the inside. A lot of times people want to see the Red Sea split. They want to see the Red Sea split, and God's just trying to get your tongue to split. To just split from what you've been speaking. Just split from that and just come over here. And start speaking what you're supposed to be speaking. See, so we want the Red Sea splitting, but he says, well, let's get your tongue to split and come over here and leave this way of talking. And let's go ahead and let's cast down these vain imaginations. And let's go ahead and let's come over here and let's do this way. Let's go ahead and do it this way. And when we're lining up and allowing God to work in us, then God is able to work more fully through us and do the kind of miracles that he does. Can you say amen? Come on, this is what we want, don't we? Don't we want the miracle working God? That's who he is. That's what he wants to do. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not just going to sit here and just talk all about him and what he does. And if he wants to do it, he's going to do it. And you're beautiful the way you are. And you're not change anything. You just stay as you are. If God wants to do it, he's going to do it. Because he can do it. And he's all mouth of God. Hey, hey, hey. Nobody changes. And no seas are split either. There's no miracles happening. And we just live natural, carnal lives, and we keep going down the same road in the same rut, wondering, why God? Why God? Well, I guess God, you know, he's sovereign. I guess he wants to do it, he'll do it, he wants to do it, but you never know he's going to do it. And he doesn't do it very much. I never see much of what God's doing. And folks just stay in the rut, you know. And, you know, a lot of folks like it that way. I get to stay in my rut. I'm comfortable in my rut. I like my rut. I've been in this rut for years. And God's word says, well, I'm going to pull you out of this rut, okay, today. Thank you for coming to church. Now take my hand. Take my hand. Hey, see that man up there talking? Yeah, I've anointed him. He's a pastor, okay? And he's going to give you my word, and I'm going to be involved in it. So just take my hand, and I'm going to pull you out of, I'm going to pull you out of the rut. No, we can do this. Now just, that's right. You hear him. No, come on. Where are you going? They take off down the rut. Down the rut trail. You know, God's so good, he'll pursue you. He won't force you, but he will pursue you. Hey! Hey! Will you come back? Will you come back? Let's try it next week. Can we try it next week? I know. All right, let's try it again. See, and a lot of times people, they want to come out of the ruts. You know, a lot of times we get into ruts more than we realize. You know? Like you men, when you shaved this morning, you'll notice you probably started on the same side of the face that you started on the day before that. You start in the same place. You know, I comb my hair, I start in the same place all the time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You start the same. You know, folks just get into, there's habits. And people get comfortable with it. And sometimes to break those habits and to do things differently, it's a little difficult. And so, you know the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Right? You see, people say that. Well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But the thing is, you're not an old dog. You're a new creation. Amen. You're not an old dog. Why would you put yourself in the same place as an old dog? Just because you can't teach an old dog new tricks, you can change. I said, you can change. But you got to be willing. You got to let the light of God's word pull you out of that ditch, bring you out of that place that you're comfortable in, and allow him to bring you into a higher place, a greater place that he has for you. Can you say amen? Another saying people say is, birds of a feather flock together. Well, you're not a bird. And so a lot of times, see, people, they're around people that they've always been around. These are the kind of people they were raised around. These are the family members they were raised around. These are the friends they've always had. This is the way we people think. You got to be willing to shift and move with God. We can't get stuck in ruts. Are you hearing me? We got to be able to yield and flow with him, go where he wants us to go, do what he wants us to do. And there's things, there's character things that he's going to deal with us about. There's things in the natural he's going to deal with us about that are uncomfortable. But we've got to learn to obey him. We've got to learn to follow him and obey him. And one of the best places to learn is in church. You're not going to really see like you ought to see without being a part of a local church where the truth is being proclaimed, where the truth is being spoken. We need to get under that light so it exposes everything that's not right and causes us to be able to be set in our place. Set in our place so that when the enemy comes against us, we can fight the good fight. We can resist him. We can overcome and not be overcome. But we got to let the light come. Somebody say, I'm not afraid of the light. I'm not afraid of change. I'm going to let God work in me. Transform me. Change me from the inside out. Can you say amen? Then over here in Hebrews, over here in 12:5 of Hebrews, he says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise. Everybody say despise. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now again, how does he scourge? Through the word. It's the scourge of the word, all right? You got to get that straight. God's not correcting you through accidents. God's not correcting you through sickness. That's the devil. Now, the Bible does say your own sins will correct you. That's not God. Your own sins will correct you because whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps. So if we're sowing sin, if we're doing the wrong thing, then we're going to reap the wrong thing. We're going to experience wrong things in our life. That's not God correcting us. That's the devil taking advantage of us as we're sowing the wrong thing, sowing according to the flesh. All right? But it's not God. Don't confuse God. This is not how he corrects. If you want God's correction, you're going to have to seek it. You're going to have to put yourself in position for it. Because it's going to come through his word, through his speaking to you. So we got to set ourselves up to be corrected. Because if we allow ourselves to be corrected, then we will avoid being corrected by doing the wrong thing, by our missing it. People do the wrong thing, they miss it, and then they got to experience the correction that comes from sin. Sin is a nasty disciplinarian. You don't want sin correcting you. It has its master, the devil. So you don't want that. You don't want that. No, thank God we can come over here to a safe place, get under the truth of God's word, get under that covering that he's provided for us, get the truth, and let that correct us. Boy, that's a whole lot better. That's a whole lot better. Now, again, it might not feel good on your flesh, but it's a whole lot better than what it's going to feel like if the enemy correction disciplines you, if sin disciplines you. So therefore, we're not going to despise the correction that comes from God. We're not going to despise that. He says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Why? Why is that? Because the Lord, who does he chasten? Those he loves. Notice he says in verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Now, here's the thing, too. We're talking about submitting to God's discipline. Submission is never easy. Submission is always hard. It always goes against what you want in the flesh. It doesn't feel good. That's submission. A lot of people are in agreement with one another. But as soon as something is said they don't like or they don't agree with, then they just walk away. No submission. Submission is coming under someone and something, even when it's not convenient, even when it goes against the grain of what you are wanting. But you submit to it, you come under it. That's how it's able to work in your life. If you don't come under submission, then God can't fully chasten. God can't correct. God can't do the things he wants to do in your life. So it's not when it's convenient. It's not when we feel like doing it. It's we submit, just like at work. You know, your employer, if you're an employee, your employer might ask you to do something that you don't want to do that. You're tired. You did it last time. Nobody helped you. But that's what he wants you to do. So what do you do as an employee when you don't agree that it's right that you're being told to do that? What do? You submit. You submit. Or you get fired. You lose your job. Or you quit. We should never quit a job for the wrong reason. There are right reasons to quit a job, but don't quit for the wrong reason. Don't quit because, well, I didn't want to do it, and they made me do it, and I just said, that's it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get pushed around. Those. I'm not going to submit to anybody. Do never quit out of rebellion. You quit a job because not every job you're supposed to stay in, you know, unless God actually told you to take that job. A lot of jobs God didn't tell you to take. It just, you walked it out, and this seemed like a good job, and you took it. That doesn't mean just stay there forever. Now I've got to submit forever and ever and ever, and I've got to stay here forever and ever. No, that's not what he's saying. You got to submit while you're there, but then you could be led to do something differently, but you're led for the right reasons. It's because you're being led for godly reasons, not because of rebellion, not because you're upset at somebody, you're offended at somebody, you're hurt by somebody, you don't think it was fair, you don't think it was right the way you were treated. Those are all fleshy reasons to make decisions. We don't make decisions that way. We make decisions out of our spirit that are in line with God's word. We follow him. So if we don't have a good godly reason to change jobs or to change whatever it is we need to change, then we need to what? Submit. And when we do, God does mighty things in our life through our submission. And one of the things he's able to do is to cover us, is to protect us. So he talks about here about enduring chastity. Verse 7, if you endure, and notice the if you endure. In other words, you don't have to endure. You can quit at any time. But if you endure, God deals with you as with babies. No, as with sons. See, now we're talking about not just being a baby Christian, but growing up and becoming sons of God. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and you're not sons. That's pretty strong. We need to allow God to chasten. Let God correct us. Let God adjust us so that we can be lined up and be able to follow his perfect plan for our life. A lot of times folks are looking for direction, and the direction he wants to give them comes in the form of correction. And they go, oh, I don't want the correction, but I need direction. But a lot of times his direction comes in the form of correction, and we got to allow God to correct us so he can direct us. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for the truth that's shining on us today, helping us to be willing and obedient and submissive servants of his. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you so much. Thanks for the truth. Thank you for helping us.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.